Neil Armstrong, Yuri Gagarin, Buzz Aldrin, Valentina Tereshkova. The astronauts and cosmonauts of the space race era became pop icons, and the world was in awe of the science and engineering that enabled them to leave our planet for the first time. But the space race was also a period of intense paranoia concerning the potential military applications of the technology. In the West, governments were keen to keep an eye on what was taking place behind the Iron Curtain. One of the sites used to track Soviet space activities was Jodrell Bank Observatory in the north of England. I'm James Dacey, a reporter for Physics World, and I recently visited this now iconic astronomy centre to find out how it began as one man's dream to detect cosmic rays, before being drawn into the events of the Cold War. Coming up in this podcast, you'll hear stories from Jodrell astronomers, including the intriguing tale of what the Soviets were up to at precisely the same time that Armstrong was stepping onto the lunar surface. To explain how the observatory was founded after the Second World War, here's Jodrell Bank's Associate Director, Tim O'Brien.
The observatory here at Jodrell Bank was started in 1945, so right at the end of the Second World War. And it's basically because the people that worked on the development of radar in the war, a lot of them had been at universities before the war, and at the end of the war they went back to the universities to do research in physics. So Bernard Lovell had been at Manchester before the war. He'd gone off to develop radar, airborne radar systems for use in nighttime flying, and he came back to the University of Manchester at the end of the war. He actually wanted to use radar to study cosmic rays. So he knew there were these charged particles crashing into the atmosphere coming from outer space. And he thought what he could do was send a radar signal up into the sky, bounce a reflection off the trail it left behind in the atmosphere, and therefore study these otherwise hard to see objects.
Bernard Lovell and his colleagues never actually detected their cosmic rays, but they did observe meteors, and they made the first detection of radio waves from another galaxy, the Andromeda Galaxy. With this early success of their science and technology, the Jodrell astronomers were really excited about what they might achieve next. And by the early 1950s, they had started work on what would be the world's largest radio telescope, a giant dish 250 feet in diameter that could be steered to track astronomical objects as they move across the sky. However, by the middle of the 1950s, the excitement over this great new telescope had turned to stress. Here's Tim O'Brien again.
It's interesting that, I mean, when you get to the sort of 1956, 1957 era, actually the telescope was massively in debt. Nobody had ever built anything like this before in the world. So really they didn't understand how much it would cost, and they'd overrun the budget massively. And so actually, you know, Lovell, in fact, was in danger of being thrown into prison as a result of this. The workers that were building the telescope were on strike because there was no money to pay them.
Lovell, who died in 2012, said that the project needed a miracle to save it, as he describes in this recording provided by Jodrell Bank.
I said to Henry Brown, we need a miracle to save us. Well, that kind of miracle came on October the 4th, a few weeks later, 1957, when the Sputnik 1 was launched.
The British government contacted Lovell in 1957 and wanted to know whether his new telescope could be used in tracking the Sputnik mission. When the answer was yes, government officials started to realise what a useful little investment Lovell's telescope might turn out to be.
Lovell wasn't interested in actually tracking the satellite itself, because you could pick that up with a small radio receiver. But he got a phone call from somebody in government who said, actually, we'd be interested to see if you could use a radar on your new telescope to detect the rocket that carried Sputnik into space. And that was because it was an intercontinental ballistic missile. And obviously the fear at the time was, what would next be launched with one of these missiles? Might it be a nuclear warhead? So everybody came back into work. 8 days later, on the 12th of October, they actually got the telescope operating. They got a radar echo as the rocket sort of whizzed over the Lake District at 15,000 miles an hour, and that made the telescope world famous and did indeed save the project.
Today, as you peer up at the Lovell telescope, it is a very picture of a scientific instrument being used for peaceful means. But this wasn't always the case. I met with the observatory's former director, Francis Graham Smith. He told me about how for a short period in the 1960s, the telescope became the only place that would be able to track ballistic missiles should they be launched from the Soviet Union towards the West.
It came about that we at Jodrell, I say we, it was really Bernard Lovell, became the most likely place to have a radar which would pick up the launch of an intercontinental ballistic missile launched in Russia, in the Soviet Union. And we were standing by for this. It was never really, never used operationally, but we were ready to do that if necessary. So there was quite a time when Jodrell was, if you like, the front line of the radar defence of the United Kingdom. Fortunately, we didn't have to rely on that anymore after a couple of years.
Graham Smith told me another interesting story of how the Lovell telescope had picked up a mysterious signal from the moon in 1966. It was being transmitted by the Soviet mission, Luna 9.
The Russians were launching interesting spacecraft, but didn't have the means of tracking them. So they were asking for help from Jodrell, providing information about what frequencies to use and so forth. And out of that came the monitoring of the Russian probe to the moon, Luna 9. Now, a lot of the world was a little sceptical about the Russians' capability and thought they were never really going to make something land on the moon. So the idea was to monitor the frequency, the radio frequency of the probe, which was transmitting as it approached the moon. And as it approached the moon, of course, gravitational attraction speeded it up, and you could see this as a Doppler shift. So John Davis, who was here at the time, set this up and monitored the approach of the probe to the moon, and lo and behold, it went faster and faster and then crashed into the moon, and we thought that would be the end of it. But monitoring it continuously with the big dish had shown that it didn't stop transmitting. So there was a transmitter on the moon and a nice signal being picked up, nobody else able to pick it up. And John Davis recognized the character of the signal as being a picture transmission on the old system, MuFax.
This discovery led to an unlikely collaboration between Jodrell Bank and the Daily Express newspaper.
We hadn't got a MuFax machine, so we couldn't see what the picture was, but it was known that the Daily Express office in Manchester had a MuFax. So John fixed it up on the telephone line to Manchester and tried to get a picture out. Unfortunately, it didn't work because it was all hum on the line and all sorts of technical difficulties. But meanwhile, the Daily Express had really got the bit between its teeth, and not long after that, a MuFax machine arrived at Jodrell, having been sent up from London post-haste. And so we could fix that onto the telescope, the output of the telescope. And in those days, it was wet processing, so there was a little tent. And I do remember the moment when somebody emerged from the tent holding up a rather wet print, which was the first picture of the surface of the moon. Very exciting.
Houston, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
Of course, the Space Race era had its most famous day on July the 20th, 1969, when Neil Armstrong took that first small step on the moon. But while at Jodrell Bank, I learnt of a little-known subplot in this story. According to Tim O'Brien, at exactly the same time as the Apollo 11 mission, the Soviets had launched their own rocket to the moon, an unmanned craft called Luna 15 that was also on a scientific and political mission.
Back in July of 1969, of course, the Americans were the first to land on the moon. So Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walked around on the surface of the moon. And of course, you know, you do hear some people still these days claim that it never happened. Of course, Jodrell Bank watched it happen, so we sometimes take out our recording of the signals from the Eagle lander as the which we actually detected with a small telescope just on the side of the building here, as the Eagle lander went down towards the surface of the moon. And you can sort of see, you can actually see on that trace where the where Neil Armstrong took manual control of the lander and flew it over the last bumpy bit of ground before he found a nice smooth spot to land on. But I think one of the other interesting things about that time was that we were only using a small telescope to sort of eavesdrop on what was going on there. We weren't really officially part of that mission. But the big telescope here, the Lovell telescope, was actually tracking a Russian spacecraft. And we used to do a lot of that back in the 1960s, is track both Americans and Soviet spacecraft on the way to the moon and elsewhere. And what the Soviet spacecraft was doing, it was called Luna 15, it was actually at the same time that, that Armstrong and Aldrin were walking around on the moon, this Soviet spacecraft was orbiting the moon. We were tracking it with the telescope here. Their plan, they didn't have people on board, but their plan was to land on the moon, scoop up a sample of lunar soil and get back to Earth with a sample of lunar soil. I don't think they'd have beat Armstrong and Aldrin, but, you know, of course, there was a high chance that Armstrong and Aldrin's mission would have failed. We tracked that rocket as it crashed into the surface of the moon at the same time that Armstrong and Aldrin were on the moon. So the Russian mission failed and the American mission was a success, but it could have easily been the other way around. And I think that's quite an interesting bit of history that's sometimes overlooked or forgotten.
Tim O'Brien and his colleagues have many stories about the history of Jodrell Bank. It was fascinating to hear how the observatory was founded by the people and the technology of the Second World War. These scientists were finally able to focus on their passion and do astronomy, but they were soon drawn back into the events surrounding the Cold War. It goes to show how science and technology don't exist in splendid isolation from the rest of the world. In the case of Jodrell Bank, they became entwined with politics and the military. I'm James Dacey, reporting for Physics World.